Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
And welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing today? It's Wednesday. I hope you guys are doing well. I love Wednesdays. It's like one of my favorite days of the week because I always have such great conversations. And today my guest is author and spiritual seeker, Durgadas Alon Duriel. And we're going to be talking on his book, Worthy As You Are, Weed Out Unhealthy Beliefs and Nourish Your Authentic Self. And he's going to join me in just a few minutes. To all my regulars, welcome. Thanks for being here with me each week. I love that you guys keep showing up for me. I love it. Thank you so much. For those of you who are joining me for the first time, I want to give you a big warm welcome and say thank you for being here. And just a little bit about me. I am also an author, and I'm a photographer and an artist, and I have a book, and it's titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, I took all the photos in my book, by the way. There are 30 manifesting stories along with the photographs that I took of the contributors manifesting postcards, and a manifesting postcard is kind of like a little mini vision board. And I include a bunch of writing exercises, which I think helps us get clear on what it is we want to manifest, because we're not always sure about what it is. We definitely know the feeling we want, but we don't really know what will bring us that feeling. And there's also a toolbox full of exercises on, you know, the main areas in our life that we want to manifest more of, love and money and health and career and so much more. So if you're interested in reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting and doing some inner work exercises, please go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. I also each week ask for people to send me a manifesting postcard, and you can find out a lot more about how to create one and where to send it on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com. I have the address there where to send it and how to create a manifesting postcard. If you're on Facebook, I have a public Facebook group called Postcards of Love, and I like to share funny, uplifting stories, and people can share theirs also, so you could check that out if you like Facebook. So each week, I share what I call a magical message, and I post them on my social media accounts, and it's usually an image of a manifesting postcard that I got, and I photograph it with an affirmation. And I like to focus on affirmations weekly, daily, because I think they're a powerful way for it to become a new belief in our lives. And this week's magical message is, there's no place like home. And I usually give a little brief thing about the specific affirmation, but it worked out really well this week because this I'm going to read is actually an excerpt on affirmations from today's guest, Durgadas Alon Duriel. And I think it's perfect to read this to you because I always talk a little bit about affirmations in the beginning of each show. So this is what he wrote. It's crucial when affirming to bring ourselves into an emotional state where we feel the truth or potential truth of each affirmation we're working with and stay in that state as we affirm them. We also want to recite affirmations with the presence of mind and centeredness we'd have when offering words of comfort to a loved one. This helps the affirmations have a greater impact on us, resonating through our being, which makes them more likely to be accepted as true by our subconscious mind. Many people have had bad experiences with affirmations when they tried to work with traditional ones that felt too far from where they were with a topic, with the process of affirming feelings unproductive or counterproductive. I get that and have been there myself. If that is your experience with affirmations, I encourage you to give this incremental approach a try. I used to think affirmations were silly, but now I swear by them. I have seen affirmations erode negative thinking patterns in myself and others, sometimes in a matter of weeks. For example, affirming to myself that, quote, it's okay to need help, unquote, which I consciously believed but subconsciously didn't, dramatically assisted with my healing journey. So much internal pressure was bound up in that belief that it's not okay to need help. And the best tool I found to aid me in releasing that belief and pressure was affirming that it's okay to need help each day. That was something I really needed to hear. And when we realize we need to hear something and digest it, one of the most effective ways I know of ensuring that happens is to turn it into an affirmation that we recite often. Affirmations also needn't be a part of a grand trajectory from where we are. Even little shifts in how we think can be potent. Just moving from, quote, I am powerless to, quote, I feel powerless, for example, holds mountains of possibility. The former indicates a terribly depressing and static sense of self, while the latter may only imply a passing moment of feeling weak. Change one word and it's living in a different reality. Our subconscious minds hears what we literally say, not what we mean. And I just thought, wow, that was so perfect for today. So there's a whole wonderful chapter on affirmations and how well they work. And we're going to be talking a lot about that when Durga Das joins me here in just a minute. So we're going to be talking all about his book. Okay. So next week, I have Tisha Morris, and she is an entertainment attorney, feng shui expert, and author who's going to be here talking about her latest book, Missing Element, Hidden Strength. She explores the five Chinese elements that are contained within our energy system, and she's going to teach us how to apply the ancient wisdom of Taoist principles. Now, to bring out my guest today, Durga Das Alon Duriel. He is a spiritual seeker and holistic health practitioner drawn to earth-oriented spirituality, magic, and mysticism from early childhood. On the healing side, he is a licensed clinical social worker operating a private psychotherapy practice, as well as a certified holistic health practitioner. On the spiritual side, he is an astrologer, yogi, and magic worker with over 20 years of experience, 2.5, which were spent in an intensive spiritual training program that focused on self-development, ritual magic, Raja Yoga, Tarot, astrology, and Kabbalah. In his newest book, Worthy As You Are, Weed Out Unhealthy Beliefs and Nourish Your Authentic Self, many of us have heard, it's not okay to be you. You're not good enough as you are, feeling you're not thin enough, pretty enough, smart enough, and so on. Not the right gender for this career, or not the right race or sexual orientation for this privileged position. Each of us is fundamentally divine. And because of that, we are worthy as we are right now, and we always have been. He came to appreciate that through combining spiritual practice with tools from cognitive behavioral therapy. We come to know our worthiness for ourselves, and in knowing it, experience profound healing and greater well-being. For more, visit his website, which I am going to spell out for you. It's just easier. So if you go to www.durgadasalonduriel, which is durgadasalonduriel.com. And you can follow along as you're listening or go check him out. Welcome, Durga Das. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it was really good. When I was going reading your book and I saw the chapter on affirmations, I said, oh, that's perfect. I got to just read an excerpt from mm-hmm. that, because I always talk about affirmations and the power of affirmations. Mm-hmm. And I really, really liked how you described it, you know, because you're right, because you can't say if you feel so, you know, let's say if you're dealing with your health, right, and you're so sick, mm-hmm. you can't be like, oh, I feel terrific when you're in, you right. know, doubled over in pain. So you have to like work from somewhere. So, yeah, right. it really resonated with me. So I'm going to let you share a little bit about how you got in, you know, to the kind of work that you're doing today and what inspired you to write Worthy As You Are.
Basically, what got me into the work that I'm doing today is that I had a very profound healing journey of my own. I grew up with a lot of bullying when I was a kid, a lot of health problems, and a lot of difficulties that have resulted in me having a really negative sense of myself and life and things like that. And I was part of this intensive spiritual training program. And in that program, I learned how to have direct spiritual experiences. And those really facilitated a profound healing. But not just the spiritual experiences and the practices, it was also learning techniques for working on the mind. And then that was very beneficial for me. And eventually I came to learn that there was a type of psychotherapy that was very similar, at least on the surface level, to what I was doing in the spiritual training program I had went through. And that was cognitive behavioral therapy. So I learned how to do that. I got my graduate degree, I got my license, and that led me to my private practice. But then also what I wanted to write is because in my writing, I feel like I'm able to express the whole picture, right? So I talk about the spiritual side and I talk about the tools for inner work. And basically, I just really, I love what I've discovered. I love facilitating other people making discoveries themselves. And, if you want to get really deep about it, a lot of what my work is about is I just think this world would be so much healthier and better off if more of us really knew that we're all divine and experienced that directly and then started treating each other accordingly, right? So it's lots of levels, personal healing, collective healing.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. The world would look very, very, very different if we did all feel worthy. So that's going to lead me to the question is why do I would so many of us, I mean, I would say the majority of us suffer from feelings of unworthiness. Like, why do we all carry that? Because the animals don't feel that way, right? Like a bear doesn't sit around thinking like I'm not good enough to be a bear. A dog doesn't feel that way. It's just us that have this. So why? Why is it?
Well, and I would say too, if there are any animals that do feel that way, they got it, then they got it from us. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think at this point it's just so in the water around us, it's in the air. There's so many messages that come to us from different sources that say you need to be this way or change this or get this in order to have a better life, be more valuable, whatever. I mean, that's a constant message from so many sources. So where it began can be a little hard to tease out, but you certainly see it all over the place. And when we grow up immersed in that messaging, it is so hard not to internalize it. And it's not just from things like advertising. I mean, I think also like, the fact that school systems set people up to see themselves as better or worse, can also have issues in terms of things like grades and performance in sports. And, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of ways to tackle that, but it does create a sense of, especially if, like, for example, your parents only reward you when you achieve, then that sets up a belief that ties worth and affection to achievement. And similarly, like if you, lose 20 pounds and then everybody that you know compliments you, what kind of message does that send, right? So we just see this all over the place and it soaks in. It soaks in.
I agree with you. And it's funny that you mentioned that about weight because you have a chapter on self-love and body image also in your book. But it is true. Like, I see people going through like horrific stories, something terrible happens to you, right? Like a death or a divorce or whatever. So a lot of times we lose our appetite, right? So you drop all this weight and everybody's like, oh my God, you look amazing. So then you're thinking, what the F? You know what I mean? I'm miserable right now. Like, what did you think of me before? And it's unbelievable. And I've realized I've had this conversation with my family. I've realized that I never comment on somebody's weight. I never, ever, ever say, oh, you lost weight, you look great. Unless they say it to me, unless that's what they're telling me. Yeah, because I realize it's not really a compliment. It's a criticism on their body image. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to contribute to that. So I'm glad you brought that up. So do you think that a lot of it is inherited from our parents and our upbringing because they carry these feelings of unworthiness and then they, you know, unconsciously pass that down to us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it depends on who somebody's parents are, but there are certainly families where that is rampant. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we were talking about food. A lot of people get food issues because of how they're treated in the home, either what they see or what they're told, you know? And I mean, for example, in my family, my mother was a chubby kid and she was treated horribly because of that. And then that affected how she ate and how she raised us and the whole thing. But there's all kinds of shame and guilt and expectation that can be passed on within families that sets up this sense of not being good enough and needing to do something to make up the difference. Yeah, we can certainly get that in many, many areas of like career. Yeah, lots of things. Yeah.
Well, you said that because I read that in your book. You mentioned your mom who had cancer and you said, she said, "Oh my God, I finally got skinny."
Right.
You know, and here she is suffering. And it's just like, I felt that so deeply. I'm like, oh my God, really? You know, it's just like, wow. So it's really that's what I really liked about your book. And I'm going to pause here because we're going to get into that. I just looked at the time and we're at the first break. So let's take it now. And then we're going to get into your book and talk more about us feeling unworthy and how we can change it. Stay tuned.
Yes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
The AMI Awards and the AMI Woods Hall of Fame are the Conscious Media Awards that aim to recognize and honor the best luminary minds, influencers, and changemakers of the conscious, spiritual, holistic, and indie communities. The AMI Conscious Media Awards are open to the participation of all creators, individuals, and visionary leaders who can classify their original work and their projects as part of the spiritually conscious genre. Learn more about the AMIs and how to participate in it at AMIs.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged/developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Hello and welcome back. And if you're just joining me today, my guest is author and spiritual seeker, Durga Das Alon Duriel. And we're talking from his book, Worthy As You Are, Weed Out Unhealthy Beliefs and Nourish Your Authentic Self. So when I was going through your book, I like really how you laid it out. It's very easy to follow. And you start off, after the introduction to everything, you talk about a fourfold process of healing and establishing our well-being. So can you share just a little bit about what that is, that fourfold process? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's very, very simple, even though it's not always as easy as it is simple.
Right.
We want to think in alignment and support of our well-being and diminish or stop thoughts that hinder our well-being. That's one and two. We want to act in alignment with our well-being as best we can. Self-care, pleasurable activities, nurturing activities. And we want to diminish or stop actions that hinder our well-being as best we can. And if we just keep that formula in mind and feed it, it can create profound transformation in our everyday experience.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. It's very simple. But how many of us are actually walking around every day going, have I acted on my behalf of my well-being enough today? How are my thoughts? What's the ratio of thoughts that are feeding my well-being versus that are hindering it in some capacity? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just our self-talk alone, right? Like what the things we say to ourselves. If we make a mistake, I mean, how many of us, you know, call ourselves terrible names, which we would never call our loved ones that if they made a mistake, right? With the affirmations, which I want to talk about your experience with affirmations. And I started doing affirmations years ago, and I used to follow, I still read her stuff, but she's no longer with us, Louise Hay. And I would do affirmations in the mirror because mirror work, and I always talk about that, and I talk about that in my book too. It's so powerful because how many of us stand in front of the mirror and all we do is look at ourselves and criticize everything we don't like?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look in the mirror, you can really see if you believe it or not. You know, it shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because you're cringing as you're trying to say something nice because you don't really believe it. Right.
Yeah.
So, it's powerful. So, you said when I read that at first you thought that they were silly. So can you share a little bit about your experience with affirmations and how that shifted for you? Because you talk about how important they are to you now.
Yeah, absolutely. And somewhat in alignment with this, I did want to say that one of the most central things in my work is compassionate thinking.
Yeah.
And that goes in terms of affirmations and also in general. So when we're talking about negative self-talk and how it's so easy to beat ourselves up, you know, trying to get to a compassionate place can be so powerful. But yeah, I mean, I think like I was like many teenagers, heard about affirmations. They sounded really dumb, you know, just like, it's like, what is that? Right. It just sounds very silly to sort of say something to yourself over and over again. And then I think that what really started to change for me is that I was encountering teachers, one of whom was Louise Hay, who worked with them in a deeper way. And I started to notice that it really was true that if I changed my thinking, it could change my life. It could change my perception of life. It could change my experience of life. And it could even change what I was manifesting. And then what I discovered was that the most simple, straightforward tool in my toolkit for doing that was affirmations. They're so straightforward and they're so targeted. And it's very powerful to use them for those reasons. You know, so in the type of therapy that I do, cognitive behavioral therapy, there's traditionally a lot of questioning of thoughts. You know, you find yourself having a very negative thought and you question it. Okay, that's one step of the process. But then what are you going to put in its place?
Right.
And while we may figure that out in a therapy session, the emphasis isn't necessarily on affirming it. Well, what I do is I emphasize affirming it. You find that new thought, turn it into an affirmation, because the more you affirm it, the more aware you're going to be of it. And then therefore, the more likely it's going to be to actually make those changes. Right. So I think what happened for me is I just, you know, at some point in my early 20s, after the intensive spiritual training program I was in, I started going to a New Thought church for a while. And I just was ready to experience the positive benefit. Like, I had healed enough to be able to do something like Louise Hay's work without just judging and criticizing myself and it because I was like an edgy teenager or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then once I started doing it, I saw how powerful it was. Yeah.
It is very, very powerful. And because I have a visual arts background, I really doing the photography, and when I set up a shoot, is really sort of like it's become like a weekly ritual for me. I mean, I do the affirmations, whatever affirmation, it's always on my mind for that week or whatever and what it means. But but when I set it up, it's like the phone is off, you know, I'll have music on, I'll maybe have candles going, and it's become a ritual. Because I'm creating at the same time I'm doing it. And it's something that it really has shifted things for me internally so much. And that's the way that I like to do it. So that's why I started sharing them on the images on a weekly basis. You know, and some people are just like, they don't get it. It goes right over their head. But then other people, it really resonates with them. And that's the thing. And what I really love what you said, and I've heard other spiritual people talk about it too, is it's very hard to say I am something when you really don't feel it, especially when you're trying to shift a negative thought that's really hurting you. So saying I feel this is very powerful. That's why I wanted to read that excerpt, because you're shifting it just slightly, right? Okay. So you're not like, if you're, you're not like, I am is totally encompassing, right? But I just feel this right now. I just feel this. Doesn't mean I'm always going to feel that. And I think a lot of us can do that. So I really like that you talked about that.
Yeah, thank you. And one thing I'll say along those lines is, you know, in cognitive behavioral therapy, a lot of the emphasis is moving towards thoughts that are truer in a fact-based way. You know, a lot of thoughts that come from depression or anxiety are skewed negative. So if we can just take out the negative skew, it can feel very, very different in a positive way. So in that particular example, when people say, I'm powerless, and we work to change it to, I feel powerless, if you look at the facts of their life, the greater truth is that it is a feeling, because they have all kinds of power. And now it's about recognizing it and using it. And part of that is perceiving it, which is why it helps to change the thought. But so we try to move in the direction of, in my experience, most people's very limiting negative beliefs are often very skewed. So even if we can just sort of weed that out a little bit, it can still make a powerful difference.
It can make a huge difference. And and when you mentioned compassionate thinking, would because I noticed that I started, and let me tell you, this is practice. This isn't just come naturally. You have to like, it's like it's like working out. You know, you're working out your mind. You know, so a lot of times if I go to the dark place, the negative place, I'll stop myself and I'll ask, why are you feeling this way right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of shifts the energy a little bit. Like, why did I say that? Why am I feeling this?
Right.
What is going on? And usually it'll have something not to do with the actual thought, right? It'll be something completely different that triggered it. Like, maybe I didn't get enough sleep, or maybe I don't feel good, or maybe somebody said something that hurt my feelings, you know? And then, you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay. So can you share a little bit about those, for those of us that, you know, do that, where we go to that place and we're like, you know, we start criticizing ourselves, something that we could, a little something we could change and shift?
Absolutely. So to your earlier point, I like to say that cognitive behavioral therapy is like physical therapy for the mind.
Okay.
You know, we get into some habits that aren't serving us. We learn some new exercises. We do the exercises. It makes the change. But I also really want people to know it doesn't have to be a huge production. Even just one compassionate thought a day, if you really mean it sincerely, can start a new habit, which grows from there. But yeah, what I will recommend, which is a very common CBT technique, is to try to talk to yourself like a best friend. You know, if you wouldn't say it to a best friend, don't say it to yourself. And then also four questions to help challenge a thought. One is just noticing, how is it affecting me when I believe this thought, right? Like, how is it affecting how I feel, how I think, how I act? What is the story of this thought? Like you were mentioning, where did this come from? Or where might this feeling have come from? You know, did I experience something growing up that's still with me today? And then why might this thought not be true? What is the fact-based evidence for or against this? What is the bigger picture? And then what could be a healthier thought to believe or think instead? Because usually once we've looked at a thought with those first three questions, we can see problems with it if we're really honest with ourselves. You know, here we are sitting thinking about how we're the worst person ever. Well, okay, are we really? No. you know, so And then once we get in the habit of questioning those thoughts, and again, it doesn't have to be a huge undertaking. It can be once a day. Once we get in the habit of it, eventually those distorted negative thoughts pop up and we just automatically don't believe them as much as we used to, because we've challenged them enough times to go, okay, but I already know that that's not true.
Right.
So what's truer than that? And that is a very wonderful place to be, because when you're in that space, that means the inner monologue is really starting to change for the better.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. And like I said, it's practice. It's a daily practice.
Yes.
Because I mean, I don't even know how many thoughts do they say we have in a day, like thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
And most of them are negative.
Right.
So, you know, we're climbing a hill to do this, but it can be done, because the more you do it, the more you catch yourself saying stuff that, you know, and you're like, oh, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing that again.
Yeah. And eventually part of you really will believe the new things that you're affirming.
Right.
And part of what I like about compassionate thinking is that those thoughts aren't so far into the stratosphere. I mean, I'm certainly also a huge believer in find the spirit within, because once you ground yourself there, there's no greater source of self-esteem than knowing you're divine.
Right.
And at the same time, just thoughts like, I'm a human being, human beings make mistakes, people don't know everything all the time, it's normal to need to grow, to learn, that's just part of life, I'm not a horrible person, because of any of those things being true. I mean, the more that becomes a part of your everyday dialogue, the less the really harsh, harsh judgmental thoughts can seize you.
Yeah. And how can we apply that to others? You know, people we're in relationships with, especially those that, like, maybe family or friends, that relationships are a little difficult. We get triggered a lot.
Right.
They trigger us.
Yeah.
How do we apply that to other people?
Well, I think firstly, in that area, it's really important to think about boundaries, you know, because we all need boundaries of some kind when we're healing.
Right.
You know, like putting a bandage on. And sometimes the boundary really needs to be put in. Sometimes a boundary needs to put in place that's very different from where something is now, you know, in order for that healing to happen. So the first thing I would say is thinking about what you actually need in terms of boundaries. And once you have a good sense of the boundaries, it can be about, you know, compassionate thinking. What is this person's story? What brought them to this moment? I mean, I'm a believer in the concept that people are doing the best they can, but they're doing the best they can with the understanding they have against the backdrop of their circumstances and their capacity. Right. So there are people sometimes, for example, who know better, but they're working three jobs and exhausted, and that's why they're being a grouchy jerk.
Right.
You know? But sometimes it's also about saying, I don't think that this person in my life, this family member, has any interest in working on themselves or really listening to me. So I'm not going to meet them that way anymore or right now. I'm not going to set myself up for that disappointment. I'm going to figure out what I think is a healthier way of interacting, assuming there is one.
Yeah, that's so, so true. When I started doing my own journey and my own inner work, part of the self-love and it was establishing strong boundaries, real strong boundaries with those that I love around me, friends, families. And, you know, I really had to learn how to say no a lot more and be okay with it, you know, because I read somewhere and I wish I could remember who said it. When I read no is a complete statement. And I was like, you don't have to say, I can't know because, and give a million and one excuses. You know, you don't have to do that. Right. And so that really helps you in your worthiness. Like, I am worth my own peace of mind, my time, my well-being, and it gets easier the more your self-worth grows, right? We know that. Okay, before we go, I have so much more I want to ask. Okay, so let's take our next break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes, and then we'll keep going. Stay tuned, guys.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back. So, Durgadas, I wanted to ask you, there's a chapter that you have and you call it the illusory truth effect and confirmation bias. What is that? What do we do as humans?
Yes. So the illusory truth effect is this part of our psychology where the more that we hear something, the likelier we are to believe that it's either true or it could be. And it's it can be used for good or ill, right?
Yeah.
Because for ill, you know, negative political things that are not real that you hear over and over again, and you start to think are true. But then for good, it's part of why affirmations can work. Because the more we hear something, the more likely we are to start to believe that it's true or could be. As long as we don't have a big resistance when we hear it. Because that, of course, can do something else. Make us more likely to believe it's not true. And then the other piece, confirmation bias, there's a part of our psychology that tends to filter in information in a way that validates what we already believe. And it's subconscious. These are both subconscious automatic things. We do not see them happening. But where that applies to affirmations is, for example, if I have a very strong belief that nothing ever works out for me, when I go out into the world and I see an opportunity, I'm going to believe it won't work for me without even thinking about it. Or I might not even notice it because I already believe something like that is off the table. So part of what we're working on with affirmations and inner work is to change our inner narrative so that confirmation bias works on our behalf. So for example, if I believe instead that opportunities are all around me and I can take advantage of the ones that are a good fit for me, I'm now, my eyes are open. I'm more likely to notice all sorts of things because that belief is opening my eyes to them.
Oh, I love that. You know, that just gave me an aha moment, the confirmation bias, because I use that. I mean, you know, when I'm talking about manifesting, right? Like if we, whatever you believe is what becomes true. So you're right. So that happens in manifesting. If you believe no matter what, nothing ever works out for you, well, guess what? You're going to be right. Nothing else is, nothing is ever going to work out for you. So but putting it in the term of confirmation, we already have a confirmation bias. And to ask myself the next time, because, you know, even though I do this work, we're all works in progress, right? We're always, so, you know, to remind myself, hey, Melissa, is that a confirmation bias you have? You know, like maybe it's not necessarily true. So it's a good question to ask ourselves. Are we having this bias here?
Yeah. Is it true or is it just what you're perceiving? A very powerful question. Yes.
And then you talk about acting for our own well-being. So I automatically, even before I started reading, was acting for my own well-being. Well, you know, if I want to be healthy, then eating fast food, drinking, and smoking is not acting on my well-being. So, but we can also use this for how we think, correct? Like acting on our thoughts. So can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So acting on behalf of our well-being in actions also is thinking about pleasurable activities, things that you enjoy and that, you know, making time for the things you know you really like, because that, you know, they research has shown can help with even depression. But yeah, thinking in terms of well-being, all the thoughts that we're having are doing something and what they're doing can be helping us or harming us or sort of neutral. And so it's beneficial to think about cultivating beautiful patterns of thought. Beautiful habits of thought, because that in and of itself can help us experience an improvement in how we feel. And that's one thing that I think affirmations are really good for. It's something I think guided meditations are really good for. You know, things that just help us stay in the kind of mindset with the kind of thoughts and beliefs we want to cultivate. And, you know, when you're in a world where you're not surrounded by other people who are necessarily believing or thinking those same things, we got to be a little more proactive. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and I love that. So each chapter is dedicated to a different important aspect of a well-lived life. That's kind of what mm-hmm. I thought. So you go into relationships, careers, money, self-love, right. gender, sexuality, family, home, yeah. and you have exercises in each chapter. And you also, you call one that is weeding the garden, in which you also talk yes. about gardening yeah. within the shadows. So what is weeding the garden?
Yeah, so I like to think of the mind as being like a garden. Mm-hmm. And most of our minds have a lot of weeds that we picked up from other people over the years. Mm-hmm. And affirmations is planting new supportive thoughts in their place. Right. And so the weeding the garden is questioning the old thoughts with the method that I mentioned earlier, those questions, and then planting mm-hmm. in their place, coming up with an affirmation that can really get you to a point where you say, okay, how do I want to be in this area of my life, and what would I need to believe to get me there? And then mm-hmm. you come up with an affirmation along those lines. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those areas in the book are all areas where people often feel like they aren't worthy as they are mm-hmm. and trying to get more into that direction of worthiness. Yeah, yeah. And then starting from there. Yeah.
Yeah, because. You can think, yeah, it's your garden, right? It's your garden. What do right. you want in your garden?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and as paradoxical as it might sound, mm-hmm. in my experience, the more we love and accept ourselves as we are, it often mm-hmm. makes it easier to change because we're not right. beating ourselves up. We're not putting intensity yeah. in the process, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it made me think of how many things that were in my own garden that weren't planted by me, that weren't planted right. by me, right? When yes. you start really looking at it, you know, yes. thoughts about, Most especially things. Thoughts about money, mm-hmm. right? Money's a mm-hmm. big one for all of us. Like, where did I get right. that money? I always call it my money story. And I'm like, where mm-hmm. did I get that money story? Oh, and I see where it came from, right? So it's Absolutely. The same thing in the weeding the garden. Where did this mm-hmm. these certain weeds get planted from? Maybe it was
right.
something your mother did and said all the way right. you were growing up, or your father, and you're like, you know what, I don't need that one anymore, let's get rid of it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I'll say mm-hmm. in my case, because of all the bullying I went through, I mm-hmm. had a lot of really negative subconscious insecurities that's where mm-hmm. they came from. But we mm-hmm. can flush this stuff to the surface. Right. And when we know it, when we find it, then we can question it, weed it out, and plant a new beautiful thought in its place and just take care of it. Yeah.
Just take care of it. Right. Yeah. It is good thinking of taking care of your self-worth as you would take care of a child or a pet that you yes. loved or a yes. best friend, right? It Absolutely. Really does help. It really does, because if you can really feel like, well, would I ever treat my cat right. that I love so much like that? No, I wouldn't. I tell her how beautiful she is and kiss her and love right. her so much, right? Even when she throws up right in front of me.
Absolutely, though. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of us would never. Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Say it. No, say finish your thought, because I was going to go to something else. Go ahead.
Most of us would never treat a loved Mm-mm. one the way that we treat ourselves, and never. That's part of where the compassionate process works, is to yeah. recognize that and be kind to ourselves. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it does help. So if you see yourself, if you wake up on one of those days and you feel yourself beating yourself up, if you just think about somebody or something you love so much and ask yourself, would I treat this person, animal, child like this? It really changes right. the energy. It does. It really yeah. does. Yes. So what I wanted to ask, because I think this is really important, and you talk about it, you say we have a navigating a resistance to the process, and I always think that boy, humans have a tendency to self-sabotage, right? We mm-hmm. have a tendency, yeah. like, we're on a really good run. We're going really, really good. And then right. something comes up and we self-sabotage. So I kind of feel like that's similar to the resisting the process. What is that about?
Yeah. Well, honestly, what I think it's about is the human ego. And in particular, the human ego's desire to avoid pain and suffering in the future through mm-hmm. trying to keep us in what is predictable. I think that's mm-hmm. a lot of what it's about. I mean, it can be about other things too, but it's like the ego tends to get, you know, it's in its status quo. In caveman times, the status quo was where you wanted to be because you never knew what danger was lurking around the corner, right? So that's still part of our nervous system. You know, we like the status quo because it feels safer. Unfortunately, even if it's unhealthy, it still feels safer. So I think that's a lot of what it is. There's this part of us that just resists changes, even if they're healthy changes, because of the unknown or because it doesn't want to get hurt again in a similar way that it did before. And then the thing is, when we identify that and can anticipate that, we can account for it and say, okay, you know, I might experience this kind of resistance, but I'm still going to nudge myself on a little bit in this direction. You know, I'm going to reinforce my healthy intentions and keep moving toward them. You know, so even if, for example, I don't feel like meditating today, well, I'm going to try to do it. And if I can't do it, I'm still going to do it tomorrow, you know, because I know that this is good for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ego. Well, it makes sense. Our ego is what usually gets us in trouble.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but lots of things. It's usually fear. Mm-hmm. That's another way of saying it. Like we're usually afraid of something if we're self-sabotaging. Right. So what are we afraid of?
Right. And I find that too is a lot of times when, you know, people say, oh, I want this, and they create like a postcard around it. And, but they're not taking, it's not just about the postcard, obviously. You have to act into it. You have to do creative action, the affirmations and everything. And a lot of people are afraid of what it is they say they really want because that could change their whole life. And they're not quite there yet. So they'll say, well, why hasn't it happened? And I'll say, well, are you ready for it when it does? Are you really ready for it? You might not be ready yet.
Right.
Yeah. So it's
and
a
that's
similar
why
thing.
I love, yes. And that's why I love incremental work. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to be ready for that right now. But that doesn't mean there isn't somewhere else you can go that's in the direction of that. Where you feel stronger and stronger, and then one day you open your hand and that thing that once felt so unattainable is right there.
Right. Yeah. In small steps. We need to take baby steps. It just works better. It becomes more ingrained in our nervous system. We can handle it better. So that's why we don't have those quantum leaps very often. I mean, for some people they do and it works, but for most of us, we can't handle those quantum leaps. We can't handle it. We will go running back. To what we knew. Do you have a daily practice that you do, that you like to do every day, that sort of sets you up for the day? What's your daily practice?
Yeah, so I do ritual and meditation in the morning for about 45 minutes. And I also have, I do this process of adorations to the sun. So four times a day, tuning into the elements, tuning into the sun, sunrise, noon, sunset, and midnight. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And, so that's sort of the core of it. But then I also have a daily affirmations regimen that I say, I actually say it in the shower, which I think is a fun place to do affirmations. And, nice.
I love it.
So those are my main ones. And then I weave in other things too. Like I like to listen to guided meditations, affirmation decks, tarot cards, things like that. Yeah.
So, how many years now have you been doing this kind of work? Do you see how far you've come in the years?
Yeah. So, okay. If we're talking about formally working on myself, I started my spiritual training program in 2005, the intensive work beginning in 2004. But I mean, I was really into like spirituality and spiritual study for many years before then. But when it was really like, okay, I'm hardcore working on this, it's like, you know, part-time job type level. And yeah, I see so many benefits. And what I really see benefits from in the last 2 years is putting the healing work back at the center, because for me for a while, the healing work would be like, I did a lot of healing in the first few years and made a ton of progress. And then I was kind of off more diving down deeper, sort of quote unquote, spiritual seeking rabbit holes And I would kind of come back to the healing work when I felt like I needed it. But I've been focusing on it hardcore, whether I feel like I need it or not. And that's been really helpful because I felt like it's gone super deep. So yes, I for sure see a benefit. And that's, again, why I beat the drum of affirmations, because even though they're so simple seeming, what they can do is so deep and profound, not just because of how they change your mind, but also the opportunities they call to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I agree.
Those can be so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree too. I agree. And I really caught that when Louise Hay would talk about it and I would listen to her and I really got it and I started from her. So I see it too. We only have like a minute left. So is there anything that you want to share with us that you think is really important? And then also let everybody know the best way to reach out to you if they want, or get your, you know, find your, buy your book. So share with us.
Yeah, I would just say that I think everyone has the capacity to find a direct relationship with spirit and experience the beauty of that in their life and in their mindset, and to think thoughts that affirm and support that and experience the beauty of that as well. And then I'm on my website that you mentioned earlier. You can find me on Twitter at Durgadas A. Doriel. Caution, I make a lot of jokes on Twitter, but yes, that's where I am. And then on Instagram too. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Durgadas. It was such a pleasure talking to you, and I really enjoyed your book. I really enjoyed book. So guys, please check it out. Worthy As You Are, Weed Out Unhealthy Beliefs and Nourish Your Authentic Self. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.